Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Holiday magic is in the air, and DSW's got all the shoes to make your season extra merry. Believe, you've got parties to attend and lists to check twice, so DSW is taking care of the details, like gifts to make their eyes all aglow, styles that bring joy to your world, brands everyone wants, like UGG, Nike, Birkenstock, and more, and deals to make your budget bright. Find the perfect shoes for you and yours at a DSW store near you or DSW.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
1-800-Flowers.com knows that a gift is never just a gift. A gift is an expression of everything you feel and helps build more meaningful relationships. 1-800-Flowers takes the pressure off by helping you navigate life's important moments by making it simple to find the perfect gift. From flowers and cookies to cake and chocolate, 1-800-Flowers helps guide you in finding the right gift to say how you feel. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Welcome back, everybody. That's right. I'm taking over for this bit. And we'd like to welcome you back to Paranormality UK.
Josh for the win.
We thought we'd try something different today, and I thought I'd kick things off with you, Pirate, and can you have a guess at what I'm doing today?
Hot air balloons. No. Weather balloons. Weather balloons?
No. You love a good weather balloon.
Everything's a weather balloon.
Yeah, space orb weather balloon. Today, my friend, we are exploring tarot cards.
Tarot cards.
Yeah, it's spelt tarot.
Tarot. Like carrots, but with a T.
Yeah. So it's tarot cards. And I thought, why not? Let's dive in.
Let's go for it.
We've had 4 weeks of...
absolute bangers.
Unbelievable podcasts. Full of knowledge. Full of funniness. And upon researching...
This one a bit weak then, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit of a weak... A weak week.
Fair enough.
So I am going to admit, this week, it's not the greatest of podcasts.
Hey, don't knock yourself before you've got to the end of it, mate. You know, sometimes, I remember a couple of times now, you've gone, oh, I don't know about this one, but it's actually turned out to be a really good podcast. So, you know.
Well, let's keep those positive vibes going.
How paranormal are crossed fingers?
Oh, I don't know, but... you saying crossed fingers, I saw a video about apparently the hands can, if you put them in certain positions and shapes, they can channel your inner chi and things like that.
Oh, yeah, like the ninjas and stuff used to do that, didn't they? Tie up their fingers and that's the dragon and that's the, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, and I saw one of Cristiano Ronaldo in an interview and he was doing something like that and everyone was like, oh, he's doing the Illuminati sign, but it's not. He was doing it to... come across as assertive and dominant.
Buddhist or something? Or?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
He's a hero in my eyes, though. Does a lot for sick children, so God Fair bless enough. That man.
Good man. Good man.
So, let's kick things off, shall we?
Tell me all about tarot cards then, Josh.
Okay, so tarot cards were first known as triomphi.
Triomphi?
It's either triomphi or triomphi.
That was kind of like triumphant. Yeah.
Okay. That would make more sense. And triomphi is a pack of playing cards used from at least the mid-15th century. So there you go.
Fair enough. They're not as old as I thought they'd be then. I thought their tarot cards would be like proper old, like medieval or something.
No, so actual tarot cards are mid-15th century.
Oh, fair play.
And they were all hand-painted and drawn themselves, and they weren't as available.
You always surprise me when you date these things. Like Nessie, I thought, would be like maximum 200 years. No, 1800 years, you know. Now tarot cards, I think, oh, it's got to be like millennia. Well, 500 years.
I'm glad you said that, though, because we will come back to something later on that does date before that, but it's not quite tarot cards.
Okay.
But yeah, tarot cards are mid-15th century, and they were used for card games such as, I love this, Tarocchini.
Tarocchini.
From their Italian roots. Tarot cards spread to most of Europe, evolving into a family game, which included German Grasstarock, French Tarot, and Austrian Konnegrufen.
Oh, fair play. So it wasn't, they weren't always used as that sort of occultist sort of prediction.
No, not at all.
So it was just like a game, I guess.
Yeah. It literally did start off as a game, a family game.
I wonder how you play it.
Well, I've got some information on it, but I'm not too sure, because I think some of it will surprise you. But it actually was created in Italy.
Okay, yeah.
So when's your Tarocchini day?
Wednesdays.
Because I just love the fact that it's Italian. It's actually spelt and said Tarocchini.
Tarocchini.
So I just imagine some guys.
That'd be a very strong coffee, wouldn't it? Tarocchini.
Yeah. Or just a strong pasta. It's like, hey, Ma, where's my Tarocchini? I'm trying to do readings over here. It just sounds so good, Tarocchini.
Tarocchini. Sounds like it'd go well with garlic bread.
Oh, it does, yeah. I'll have a plate of Tarocchini, please. Yes, I want to actually look into that more, because I actually want to know how to play Tarocchini, because it sounds right up my street.
Yeah, we'll have to get a deck of tarot cards and have a go at it sometime, eh?
Yeah, I can tell you where to get them from at the end of the podcast. So,
Amazon.
Yes. Yeah, true. But there is a specific type.
Oh, of
tarot card. So
tell me more then, Josh. Come on.
Okay, right. I'm getting sidetracked.
Let's get this information out there so other people can go and play Tarocchini.
Yeah. So in the late 18th century, French occultists made elaborate claims about the history and meaning of the cards, which led to the emergence of custom decks for use in divination and tarot reading. So that was when
it switched
from being a family game to all about, you know, crystal balls and predicting the future and things like that. So it was French occultists. For people that don't know divination, it is to foresee, foretell, predict, prophecy, crystal ball, all that kind of thing.
I would imagine it comes from the word divine, doesn't it?
Yes.
So, yeah.
It does. Which divination, it sounds quite nice. Sounds elegant.
Yeah.
So there are now two distinct types of tarot card, one used for family card games and the other for divination, as we've said.
Right.
There's also been links to ancient Egypt, the Kabbalah, Tantra, which is Indian, and the Qing, which is Asian roots.
Okay.
So that has all been linked to tarot cards, but there's no confirmation of that. So the earliest confirmation I could find was mid-15th century Italy, Venice and Milan being the main cities, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
But there has been links to ancient Egypt, which I will come back to. It will make sense. So I will just say my notes are in a bit of a weird order today, but they will eventually come full circle and make sense.
I have faith.
Yeah. So, as I said, there is no evidence of tarot cards before Italy in the 15th century. And historians claim Western views of tarot cards is the subject of the most successful propaganda campaign ever launched. So historians, straight away, they don't believe it.
I can see why.
Yeah, it'll be a running theme of this podcast.
Yeah.
It's a tough one. It really is.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not going to go there yet because the paranormality rating comes at the end of the podcast.
But when you think tarot, don't you think like Romanian gypsies?
Yeah, I think there's some little old lady sat in a tent going, cross my palm with silver and I'll tell you your future. And then it looks at a bunch of cards and one of them's death and you're thinking, oh, God. But death isn't actually mean that, does it? And I think it's like new beginnings or something. And
yeah, that's the crazy thing is each card... Like, I could have given a whole list of every card and what they do.
Oh, we'd be here for hours.
Honestly, it would take so long. There's so many different meanings, and they're all depending on the person as well. So, like, you would have a different card reading with a different meaning compared to me. And
doesn't it mean something different if it's upside down as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's, like, one or two meanings for if it's, like, horizontal or vertical, and, yeah, it's crazy.
So complicated, yeah.
So... The tarot card games, this is where it gets a little bit to like modern times kind of thing, is they have four suits just like common playing cards.
Oh, do they? So, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And each suit has 14 cards. You've got 10 pip cards, numbering from 1 to ace, 4 face cards, king, queen, knight, and page. So I'm guessing that's the same as like jack, queen, king. It's kind of similar. But in addition... The tarot has a separate 21-card trump suit and a single card known as the fool.
Right, okay, yeah.
So the 21 trump suit, I think, is the, like, the death, the sun, the moon.
Oh, right, and all of that.
As addition to normal playing cards kind of thing. It's the thing with tarot cards is they've evolved over the years.
Yeah, and like you say, there's two different types anyway, one for playing a game and one for telling the future. So I would imagine that the 21 trump cards, the ones that you just use for telling the future.
Yes, yeah.
And then if you want to play the game, you'd be using the 1 to 8 and with the king, queen, jack, page.
Yeah, but there is the odd...
Squire.
Squire. Yeah, I love the old squire. I used to have one of them instead of a Fender. But the old the fool actually comes up in some of the card games as well, like the normal.
Oh, right, yeah, like a Joker card, I suppose, isn't it?
Essentially, it's the same thing. And it says, depending on the game, the fool may act as the top trump, or it may be played to avoid following suit.
Right. So okay. Well, without knowing the rules to the game, we can't really advance on that, can we? But
yeah, and... I should have looked up the rules of the game. But then when I thought about it, I was like,
you were the fool.
I was the fool. But we don't even have the cards to be able to...
No, I don't have a deck of tarot cards. Maybe I look quite good on the shelf, I suppose.
Amazon, we'll get on it.
Amazon, here we come.
So a lot of these cards are still used throughout much of Europe to play conventional card games.
Oh, right,
so when I did that bit of research, I took from that is in... This is what evolved into playing cards as we know it.
Yeah, probably, like
the deck we've got. So in a cult tradition, tarot cards are referred to as arcana. The fool and 21 trumps are the major arcana, and the suits are the minor arcana.
Right.
So you've got the... It's almost like the deck is kind of split into two.
Yeah.
So... Divination is the fool and the 21 trumps. The playing cards are the minor arcana.
Then
they still work with the other cards to predict futures and things like that.
Oh, right, okay. So
it's all very confusing.
Oh, so you get like your future predicting cards, and then you pick from the other arcana, and that's kind of like your paranormality rating. Ooh, am I going to get a 9?
Yeah.
Am I going to get a 1?
Yeah. And it's like, that's how you've got so many different results for so many different people.
Okay.
Because they've got so many cards that can have... Yeah. I suppose it's like playing the lottery, isn't it? Like, there's so many outcomes.
Sounds like it, yeah.
Yeah, so when it started in Italy with the suits and the fool and all of that, they didn't have the traditional, like, hearts clubs. And all
okay,
that.
Yeah.
They had batons, coins, cups, and swords.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah.
And that's also evolved over the years. I've seen spears as one of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And different things like that. But also, this is quite interesting here, is tarot cards are based... I said we were going to come back to Egypt.
Yeah.
They're based on the Egyptian Mamluk deck, which followed the invention of paper from Asia into Western Europe in 105 AD by the Chinese.
Right.
So that's a little bit of information.
I'm not sure that's confused me even more, to be honest.
It's very confusing. It is very confusing. Because when I was looking this up, the tarot cards is pretty much there. That's tarot cards,
right.
Believe it or not. And then I started going further and further, and then it started evolving into playing cards and the history of playing cards.
Other different cards. Because I've never heard of what was Mamluk cards.
Yeah, the Egyptian Mamluk deck. So they're not tarot cards, but it's said that the tarot cards were based off of those. But then, again, it's hard because there's no confirmation because we're talking thousands of years ago. So the Italians are claiming tarot cards started with them in the mid-15th century, but then other historians and other things were saying, oh, actually, well, playing cards were before that. And
Mamluk cards were before it.
So I'm guessing they could be based on it, but there's no confirmation. So,
and then before the days of cards, they just used to use two steel rods for their divination.
Yeah. But then this is where it gets a bit weird because so playing cards were invented in 1367 in Bernay.
As in the traditional playing cards that we... Yeah,
the traditional playing cards.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
This is the odd thing. My notes are in a slightly different order here. But essentially, you've got the people that use tarot cards for reading futures and things like the French occultists.
Mm-hmm.
They're claiming that tarot cards were invented before playing cards. But then there's kind of history and historians saying, right. No, actually, that's not true. Tarot cards came from playing cards. And so no one's actually sure which came first.
Oh, okay.
Playing cards or tarot cards. It's so confusing.
Which one's the chicken and which one's the egg?
Exactly. Yeah. But they both kind of inspired each other.
Fair enough, yeah.
So now I've got this awesome little story to tell you. It's not going to take much time.
Go for it. Go for it. We're only 15 minutes in, so yeah.
Oh, no. I need to drag out a bit longer. So I just stumbled across this, and I thought this was really cool, was the lost tarot cards.
Oh, it's not good to lose your tarot cards.
It's not. It's bad luck.
You can't be doing a reading with three missing, can you?
No. And this is another thing. It can't be confirmed. This is just kind of like a myth, like a story.
Okay.
So allegedly, supposedly, whatever the word is.
Right.
There was a deck of tarot cards commissioned by Duke Filippo Maria Visconti.
That's got to be Italian.
Yep. Yeah. It's Italian. Between 1418 and 1425. Now, these limited edition tarot cards...
They're not pornographic or anything, are they?
Oh, no.
No, that's all.
No.
When, you know... People commission these specially made things. You never know, dear.
You got Michelangelo with his little winky.
Well, exactly, yeah.
Oh, why did I say that? Winky. Who says winky at the age of 33?
All of his favourite Florentine painters just in the nude on a tarot card.
To be honest, I bet you there's decks of cards with that kind of thing.
Oh, there undoubtedly is, yeah.
So the lost deck of cards is a 60-card deck with 16 cards having images of the Roman gods. The suits had four kinds of birds.
Okay, yeah.
So very different to what tarot cards are to this day. But that's pretty much it. It was just...
What a story. That really filled up some time.
I'm sorry, it's all I could find. I did warn you this was going to be a dire podcast with tarot cards.
Did Duke Filippo Maria Visconti like his cards? Was he happy with them? Did he,
well, I guess
did he
not.
Execute the guy who made them or anything like that? No?
He didn't hold them close to his chest because he lost them. So
oh, well, he obviously didn't like them that much then.
But most tarot cards were hand-painted and not commonly found until the invention of the printing press in Germany in 1440.
Yeah, I can imagine that, yeah.
So before the printing press, all these tarot cards, I guess, were more special and they meant...
Yeah, it would have been, yeah, specially made and probably quite expensive to buy as well.
Yeah.
Being, handmade, every single one of them.
Yeah, so it was hard to come across and it was a bit different. I suppose it just meant more, didn't it? Because if the printing press came along and just everyone could get hold of them, it's just not going to... be special, wasn't it?
No.
So that's a little tidbit of information for you.
Like, maybe, no, is that, 1440 the printing press was made and got them commissioned in 1480.
But I quite like the idea of having Roman gods and four birds on a tarot.
Personalised tarot cards.
Yeah. But I just can't believe that story took up all a minute and a half. Honestly, I was looking at this research and I was like, there's got to be something juicy about tarot cards. Oh, the lost tarot card. Ah, two sentences. Cool. All right. We'll go with it then. So, today's tarot deck contains 78 cards, each with its own unique imagery and symbolism and story. So, that is the deck that is used these days.
Yeah.
All have 78 cards. And...
I don't know if you even know this, but you say that each card has got its own little unique story.
Mm-hmm.
Is that written on the card, or are you just sort of expected to know that if you're trying to do predictions? Obviously, would anyway, but.
Well, I can half answer.
How do you look that up?
Because when I Googled and looked at the cards, obviously they tell you the meanings and everything that it's there.
On Google, yeah.
Yeah, but because I don't actually have tarot cards or I've. Seen a lady or man with tarot cards, I couldn't actually tell you. I don't know if it's written on the back.
No.
I have no idea. Or maybe they're trained in the arts of tarot.
I've seen tarot cards. I've held tarot cards. I've never really paid that much attention to them.
I don't know. Maybe they're making it up as they go along. I've got no idea.
Plausible to me.
So, yeah, I couldn't answer that really. But online it tells you what they all mean and... The internet is the future. So.
It is, but it's not in the past. There's got to be some way of spreading these stories, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, that would be quite hard to remember, like,
78 individual stories.
And then different variations depending on the card and stuff. So, yeah, it's just odd. But before I mentioned the major arcana and the minor arcana, so the 22 major cards... are more to do with life lessons, influences, and journeys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whereas the minor arcana is to do with achievement, actions, creativity, emotions, relationships. So I suppose you've got two dynamics there, depending on what cards you draw, kind of give you a story.
Yeah, you've kind of got, in the major cards, you've got actual, like, physical happenings.
Mm-hmm.
And then the minor cards are more about sort of the emotional impact of those happenings, I guess, is it?
Yeah, I think so. And little side note here, if you play all the cards in a certain order, it tells the full story of the Fool's Journey.
Oh, right,
which
goes
back to the game that it originally came from.
Ah, fair enough.
But that I'm guessing that's a 1 in billion chance of getting that in a certain order. To create
If you were just laying them out randomly, yeah.
Yeah.
You'd have to know the order to actually, I suppose, lay them out to actually display the Fool's Journey, if that's what you were trying to do, isn't it?
Imagine if the Fool was, like, the peak of the game. Like, you've got all these cards laid out, and it's just telling you how stupid you are, and you're a fool. It's like, oh, you're the fool, and you get to the end, you're like, you've won. You've done the game. You are the fool. And then all of a sudden, being the fool
is actually a good thing.
Yeah, it's the greatest thing. So, as we said, the cards are all down to personal and unique interpretation. So your story would be different to mine. Like I said, I've not done one of these card readings.
I never have.
And I know people that have, and they very much believe it.
Yeah.
So I want to give it a go just for my own kind of, because it's hard, isn't it?
So yeah, it's fair enough. I mean, mediums, I guess you could call it a medium, couldn't mm-hmm. you? Someone who does the tarot readings. They use all sorts of manners of things to help them out, don't they? From crystal balls to...
Yeah.
Your blood or whatever, and you know, spit on it and rub it around. Oh, it looks like a rabbit.
yeah.
But I mean, the tarot cards are the way that the medium interprets the universe's intentions for you, isn't mm-hmm. it?
Yeah.
And I wonder if there is, like you say, an absolute definition for each card, because like you say, it is a bit personal interpretation. I mean, mm-hmm. yes, there is a meaning to that card, there's a meaning to that card, and a meaning to that card, but to pull those meanings together into something that actually means something overall, there's yeah. got to be something, you know, something about the mediums in their brain that is driving that. And, oh, damn it, sorry.
You've done it again, Pirate.
Get out of my head, Pirate. Get out of my head. I know, I'll go back to being in a band, blah, blah, blah.
You're one step ahead of me.
Sorry.
I don't know how you keep doing it. I'm starting to think you've got your own pack of tarot cards.
I didn't even know you were doing tarot cards until this morning.
I know. And the annoying thing is, that's on the other page, so you haven't even seen it. But I don't understand how you do it. It's ridiculous. But why you say it, yeah. but it's kind of, you are kind of, you're almost there, you're like 80% there. So what you basically said is tarot cards are deeply connected to astrology.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So each zodiac sign is represented by a card in the major arcana.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what you said is it's kind of like universe and astrology related. Yeah, yeah. And I can't remember, I only remember Virgo was the hermit. And it had its own meaning, and I think Leo was strength.
You didn't even look up your own?
Yeah, I did, and I can't remember it, because it wasn't very good.
Oh. My star sign's the same as yours, so mine won't be very good either. Oh. So we'll ignore that.
I can't even think what it is. I really can't.
We'll look it up afterwards. You don't have to put that in the podcast. Everybody will know what losers we are from our star sign.
Yeah. Our star sign gets a bad rep, to be fair.
It does, to be fair. I'm not even telling people what it is now.
No, I'm not. But crazy enough, I was listening to a different podcast the other day, and our star sign is the biggest producer of murderers and
stuff. Oh, is it?
Yeah. I was like, really? I don't know what that says about us, but... So now that you're one step ahead of me, and we've cleared that up, and it's related to astrology... We don't need to go into that. Look up your own star signs and stuff with tarot cards. So it comes to modern day and kind of fortune tellers as we know it and tarot readings didn't actually get popular and ramped up until 1780.
Oh.
And Paris, of all places, France.
Well, that doesn't surprise me, just because of the information that you said about before from France, because mm-hmm. tarot was the French name of it, wasn't it?
Yes.
When you were at the beginning.
There was a game, French Tarot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the French loved a bit of tarot. And Antoine Court and Jean-Baptiste.
Aliette.
popularized tarot in Paris during the 1780s using the deck Tarot of Marseille. See, I got that one right. Marseille. Yeah,
you got that one.
And they started fortune telling and really popularizing it.
I expect they got quite rich from it.
I think they did, yeah.
They probably held tarot reading parties and all that sort of things, didn't they? And
they were basically the pioneers of it.
Yeah, yeah. Because, like, well, back in those days, there was no TV, no radio, no nothing. And, like... Yeah, people used to spend their weekends going out to things like this and mm-hmm. Watching dead bodies dissected or whatever, you know. Like I think it was in Paris, might have been Paris, where they actually opened the morgue up to the public so people could go in and look at dead bodies.
That's a terrible source of entertainment.
But people used to do it.
Mind you, I'm not going to mention names because I don't want to get sued, but I went to school with a kid, and people that went to school with me know I'm telling the truth on this.
Right.
He kept a dead mouse in a jar and watched it decompose for fun. Because he was a goth kid at the time and he thought it was cool and edgy.
Has he got our star sign? Because he sounds like a serial killer.
What's funny, I'm pretty sure his birthday was December.
Really?
So, oh, no, we've given, no, we've given it away. Oh, no. But, yeah, I think he is the same star sign.
That is the makings of a serial killer, if ever I've heard one.
I know, yeah. And no one's really heard from him since, so I don't know what he does now. But, yeah, that is the honest
Broadmoor, truth. Mate.
he should be locked up. But, yeah, you said about the French people, and that just reminded me. I was like, yeah, I kind of knew someone that done that. So we're almost at the end, but I just wanted to give out a couple of little shout-outs, mate.
Go for it.
So the tarot decks that you can buy now on Amazon, eBay, wherever, tarotcards.com, yeah, wherever. All of the cards are based off this one deck now that has been out since 1909.
Oh, it's not the lost deck then.
It's not the lost deck, no. So if you were to buy a tarot card pack or get a reading, they're going to use this certain deck.
Okay.
And it's the Pamela Coleman Smith painted and hand-drawn revolutionary deck, which is also known as the Rider Waite deck.
Okay.
So there's a guy called Arthur Edward Waite. From what I did in my research, he just directed Pamela Coleman Smith to paint and draw these cards.
Oh, so he commissioned the cards, and that's what that is now the standard tarot deck.
Yes. You said that in a lot smoother way than I said it and wrote it down.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you're here, because what I said made no sense. But
yeah. I'll be your translator.
Yeah. I can't believe I'm speaking English and now I have a translator. There was this one deck of cards and yeah, what pirate said, basically. So 1909, that deck of cards is what is used.
That is the de facto deck of tarot cards.
Yeah. And
I wonder why we settled on calling them French tarot cards rather than any of the other names.
I don't know. Yeah, it's odd, isn't it? Because it got very popular.
I guess it's the popularity in France, isn't it? So
yeah.
Tarot just became a word that people started hearing more and more, so everybody just kind of adopted it, I guess.
And I think it was because of the old Antoine and Jean-Baptiste. Because they popularised it and everything. Like you say, I'm guessing France got more of a reputation of being tarot, which surprised me, because I thought Romanian gypsies. And then when I'd done my research, and I was like, oh, it was made in Italy. Why wouldn't they go for the Italian name of Triomphi. But no, it's Tara. Or Tarocini.
Tarocini. Yeah.
You know. But there you are. That is pretty much tarot cards, mate. I struggled. I did like 4 or 5 hours research, and after a while it just kept looping back. And by the end of it, it was like, here's what tarot cards are. It's used for a game. It's used to predict futures. That's it. And it was like, oh, okay, so what about the history? Well, some people say this, some people say that. Oh, okay, well, what games can you play? Some people play this, some people play that. So it's just all over the place.
Yeah.
So I apologise for a bit of confusion there, because I tried to break down tarot cards, because I wanted to do tarot cards, because I was like, they sound awesome. I've seen it. I played The Quarry, and they were using tarot cards in that, and they looked awesome with the art and everything. And I was like, oh, I'm really into it.
Yeah, and they are synonymous with the occult as well, aren't they? If you think of tarot cards, you automatically think, like you say, the Romanian gypsy woman sat in a little tent or a caravan or something. Let me give you a reading. They've got that reputation to them, don't they? But I honestly didn't realise that they were just like a card game to start with. I kind of thought they were always that sort of prophecy system that we all know and love today. So that's quite surprising, really. I mean, can we make a game out of horoscopes? A drinking game?
You'd drink me under the table, mate.
Every time Mystic Meg says, someone wearing blue will win the lottery, we'll have a drink.
Mystic Meg, that's a who, isn't it?
Yeah, she's not even around anymore, is she?
That'll be for everyone that's like 30 plus.
Yeah.
I think.
And only in the UK.
Yeah. Yeah, there's probably people in like Panama like, oh, what is Mystic Meg? Sorry, Panama people don't sound like that. But yeah,
there's another thing that you could, I mean, you could have extended that to like rune stones as well, because that's also something that like people use for like predicting horoscopes and future events and stuff, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
But I mean, yeah. Maybe we'll make that a different podcast. Rune stones.
Rune stones. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. After doing the research and stuff, it kind of just seems like, yeah, you either believe it or you don't. Really.
So we're hovering around 5 again then, aren't we, really?
Yeah, we're putting this to the scale. I will say, though, I can't give it much higher because we haven't done one.
No.
Do you know what I mean? So if, like, a couple of my wife's friends have done it and they fully believe it, so they would probably give it like an 8 or a 9 or something, because right. They were like, you know, I remember hearing the conversations and Chloe was telling me like, oh, they said this about her and they got this spot on and this part of her life they didn't know about and then they predicted this and, you know, so for them it's probably higher. But yeah, because we haven't done it.
The skeptic in you is keeping it.
Yeah.
That.
And the fact that after...
Well, I think we can't go lower than 5. Because obviously they're originally a card game, and that's fully believable.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it was invented for.
Yeah. It's a bit like the Ouija board, isn't it?
Where, yeah.
It kind of started off as a game and then became paranormal.
Became something else, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, my opinion would definitely change if I'd done it myself. But because I haven't, I'm going to go straight in.
But you do have witness testimonies for it as well. Like you say, your girlfriend's friend, your wife's friends.
Yeah, yeah. I do. And
so does that influence your decision in any way?
I'm going to be honest, no.
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 Okay.
Because I'm that person that's very much, I have to experience it myself to believe it in a way.
Right.
It's the same reason I've always been kind of on the fence with ghosts. It's like people have seen ghosts, you've seen ghosts.
Yeah.
People have told me they've seen ghosts. But because I haven't seen one myself properly, if you know what I mean, everyone's had like an experience. Because I haven't seen a pale figure myself, full apparition, I'm still like, I'm 50-50. So this is kind of the same. So I'm afraid I'm going to have to give it a 5.6.
Oh, fair enough. 5.6.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just going to go 6 flat.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I think, you know, I mean, like, not that I've done tarot cards or particularly know anybody that has or knows anybody that does do readings.
Mm-hmm.
But it's such a well-known phenomenon, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
And a lot of people do believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly in films. People doing it. And, yeah, I mean, it's in all sorts of different media and, like you say, films and whatnot. I'm going to give it a 6 flat. I'm going to take it just a little bit above.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Just to give it some kind of bit of a lift, really. Because like you say, otherwise we would just be 5 dead.
Yeah.
I
like the mystique and the allure about tarot cards.
Yeah.
Oh, really, because I said to you...
And the artwork.
Yeah, just everything, but they're cool things, you know. Like at one point, me and the wife were talking about getting like tarot card tattoos and stuff because they look cool.
Yeah, yeah.
But after researching it, man, God, that took a dive.
Glad you didn't do that one, then, didn't you?
Yeah, I just
permanently inking yourself with that.
Nah, they are cool to look at and stuff, but yeah, there's not enough paranormal there for me. Personally,
that's fair enough. Yeah.
So we'll say at 5.8.
So 5.8. If you're sticking to 5.6 and I'm 6 dead, 5.8 is the average.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But, you know, I could be wrong. If there's people that have done tarot card readings and they're, you know, screaming at their phones going, no, he's wrong, then please tell me. Like, give me examples, because I actually want to hear stories.
Mystic
about
Meg
it.
Predicted the woman that I'd marry in 1965. And I only met her 2 days ago.
Now that is a story. That's better than the story I can have.
That'd be a good tarot reading, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So, yeah, if you've had a tarot card reading and you think it's legit, then let us know.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I've only got, like, 2 examples of people that I know that have done it, and they swear by it. But
Fair enough. Yeah, well, let us know if you've had your tarot reading. Was it true? Was it not? Do you believe? Don't you? Write in the comments section. Write in the reviews on the audio download. And thank you to everybody that does download our podcast and watch our videos on YouTube. We really appreciate it. Hmm. Write into paranormality.uk at gmail.com. That completely went out of my head then. And yeah, we'll see you next week. Until then, I've been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
And this has been Paranormality UK. Ta-ta, taro.
Ta-ta, talocini.
Hey, guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
This is a PSA, or public sock announcement. Experts have declared Bombas socks as the best way to warm up chilly feet. These pairs are super cushy, soft, and designed for maximum coziness. Plus, for every pair purchased, another pair will be donated, so someone in need of essential clothing can stay warm this winter. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST at checkout.
Hey, marketers. Your marketing plan deserves more than just reach. It needs real connection. Podcast advertising with Acast puts your brand in the ears of your perfect audience when they're paying most attention. And with more than 1 billion listens every quarter, we know your next customer is listening to Acast podcasts, no matter what app they're using. Target audiences like paid social with cinema-like attention. Whether it's by demographics, interests, or your own first-party data, connect with the right people with Acast. Visit go.acast.com/ads to get started today.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.